Some of the countries, like South Korea, with the most success flattening their coronavirus curves, used contact tracing, tracking back from a patient who's tested positive, to find the people they might have come in contact with so they can be treated or quarantined. This helped contain AIDS and Ebola. And the job here is enormous. Cell phones and credit cards are being used to show where a person might have been. Apps are being developed that use Bluetooth or GPS data. But the telephone is still important, and Oscar Baez is one of those using it. He was serving as a foreign service officer in Jerusalem when the State Department pulled him home to Boston. He's now working as part of a contact tracing team with Partners in Health. Oscar, who are you calling?
Hi, Robin. So we're basically trying to call any new case that's been diagnosed with COVID-19 in the state. And we are the ones who inform them that they need to safely isolate. And then we try to gather anyone they may have exposed to the virus in the last 48 hours, even before they were symptomatic. The idea is basically, I believe it's described oftentimes as social distancing measures, stay-at-home orders are our first line of defense against the virus. This is the other tack of playing offense. And we actually follow up. We do a home assessment and get a sense of, can you safely quarantine? Can you safely get through these 2 weeks? Because oftentimes we see the headlines of the virus being deadly itself, but for the most at risk and vulnerable in our communities, quarantine itself can be a life or death matter if you are unable to access food the next day, if you have a baby that needs a formula and you've been unemployed. And so I think it's really critical us to maintain that the human connection.
Boy, Oscar, it is, I said detective, it's detective, it's social work, it's a health officer in a way. There's a lot going on here. So a couple things. First of all, you're talking to people who may not even, I mean, they may have tested positive and they're not sick because we know you do that with COVID-19. You can be asymptomatic, so it might be shocking to some people. But now you're going to go back over who they may have come in contact with. So then you have to call those people. How do they respond?
There are a couple of challenges we come across. So there's already a huge sense of anxiety throughout our society based on what's happening. But there's also been news of, scams and some people taking advantage of what's happening. So we have had to actually make sure to work with providers to have a caller ID. It identifies as Massachusetts COVID team. And we have to build a trust.
Well, I'm wondering are they also sometimes embarrassed? You know, yes, geez, I knew I had a cough and I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you I went to work, you know, when in fact it's critical that they tell you that they went to work so you can contact those people.
Yes, oftentimes, because there is that sense of embarrassment, sense of guilt. And oftentimes we have to reiterate that actually we have to maintain confidentiality. So when we then reach out, we have to protect that information. But at the same time, when we inform those who have potentially been exposed, then they're the ones who sometimes want more information on who specifically was it that exposed this to me, and we can't share that. So there's some frustration there, but again, I think in the end, everyone understands that we need to cooperate and adhere to the guidelines.
I know you have some sensitive cases. Is there one you can tell us about?
Well, I grew up in an immigrant community in the city of Boston, in several neighborhoods. And there are certain trends to the kind of the profile of the people that we have to reach out to. And so specific cases that to me have laid bare the inequalities that existed before COVID. We've expected these essential workers to continue to work as caregivers. So the cases that I've seen are nurses or caregivers working in assisted living communities in nursing homes, where one said, everyone on my floor got sick. She was discharged from the hospital and then still had symptoms and needed a nebulizer, didn't have a prescription, was too sick to really even describe these things. So I had to navigate through the process with her daughter, who was isolated in the same home, but also with COVID. And it's just kind of everything snowballs together. And I think it's just they really appreciate having someone on the outside take a step back, walk them through it, and just facilitate. I mean, Boston steps up. Boston Strong to me is not just a slogan. But I think because of the digital divide, because of the existing inequalities in our systems, in our communities, there needs to be somebody to accompany these patients.
Boy, I tell you, Oscar Baez, should I ever have to get this call, I want it to come from you. Thank you so much for talking to us. Oscar, a Foreign Service officer, now working as a contact tracer in Boston, where he grew up, telling people when they test positive for COVID-19, but also then trying to track back to others they may have infected and helping them along the way, as we heard. Oscar, thank you so much. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.